Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, columnist at the National Post, my colleague, to help us understand what appears to be very good news. Reuters, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney plans to meet with U.S. President Donald Trump Tuesday this week, coming, to discuss economic and security issues. Canada has been holding talks for months with the U.S. on new economic and security relationship with the aim of removing all U.S. tariffs from Canadian goods. The talks had stalled. Conrad, a very good evening to you. I regard this as good news. Talking between the two leaders of our very, very comfortable countries is a positive given where we've come from and the campaign that Mr. Carney ran most recently. How do you regard the conversation? Where is it in your understanding? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, as you know, I had occasion to visit President Trump a couple of weeks ago, and he asked me what the state of discussions, commercial tariff discussions, was with Canada. And I politely said that I was hoping that, given the circumstances, that he would be able to enlighten me on that point. I think it's an issue that completely settled down in both countries after the Canadian election. I mean, you know, I think we and your listeners agree that up to a point, whatever chicanery and posturing people get up to in an election campaign, we have to indulge them a bit. And it must be said that Carney put on a good show, masquerading as a sort of Churchill shaking his fist across the Great Lakes at this man who was supposedly threatening us. But once the election was over, he stopped speaking like that, and at all, and his meetings with President Trump, as far as I know, I think he's met him a couple of times, were perfectly cordial. And all of those unfortunate atmospherics have subsided now. And neither side has given notice of canceling the existing trade arrangements that cover 75% of the trade between the two countries. So I think it all looks positive now. The elections are over, and let's get on with business. And I think they will both behave like the sensible, intelligent people that they are.
In the interim, Mr. Carney is joined with other members of the Five Eyes, but not the United States, in declaring a second state or two-state solution for the Middle East. However, that friction that is apparent in that looks to be settled by the most recent information we have, led by President Trump, that there is a peace deal on the table, signed on to by major Arab leaders, signed on to by Israel, and most importantly, signed on to the Israeli cabinet. Certainly, the American people looked for an end to the conflict in Gaza, and I don't believe Mr. Carney would in any way stand in front. What do you measure of what we know about the peace deal now, especially because the commission is to be led by the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, Mr. Blair? Is it a positive you're hearing?
Absolutely. And in fairness to Carney, he specifically endorsed it and congratulated President Trump on what he had achieved. And as you know, he not only has the Arab powers behind it, he has all the major non-Arab Muslim powers except Iran. He has Turkey, Indonesia, Pakistan all supporting it and urging Hamas to take what's on offer. I believe, is one of the greatest diplomatic achievements in the Middle East since World War II. And I don't think President Trump has to date received adequate recognition for it, but I think he will. But Carney was very clear as soon as The Trump plan was revealed on Monday that Canada was 100% supportive of it, and he congratulated the president on what he'd accomplished. So I think, like these other unfortunate unpleasantnesses, I think all of that's gone, you know, water over the dam and down the river now.
So we're looking at positives for trade, positives for foreign policy. Is it too early to be positive about Mr. Carney having recovered his balance now that he's prime minister?
I think it is. I wouldn't put it, I wouldn't say it's too early to be positive, but I think it is early enough to be hopeful, because something that wouldn't have got much attention in the U.S., but he has joined this pledge to basically triple Canada's defense spending. And he, you know, he's pledged a lot of other things. And so, you know, he's looking, as many Western leaders are, at a serious budget deficit. But because the Canada Post Office loses almost $4 billion a year, he's ending door-to-door mail delivery, you know, by the post office. People want to courier things around. Obviously, that's up to them. And that will more than pay for the defense increase, and it'll help bring the budget down. So even though he is only producing his budget, which will give us an indication of what his policy preferences are a month from now, November 4, that is a sign that he's thinking seriously and taking serious steps to, you know, to reduce the deficit. No one likes throwing people out of work, but daily door-to-door postal deliveries are now something we don't particularly need, because there are other ways of getting things around. And obviously, so many of these people have been there a long time. You want to treat them well and give them a good package when they go. But that sharp reduction of spending it has impressed people. So there's room for hope, but there's also room for ambiguity. I should add that something we often talk about in our talks here, the idea of building pipelines. Alberta is proceeding, and the federal government is not objecting to it in principle. So I think there's certainly room for hope.
I see a news item that I think I can interpret also as the right direction. Toronto home sales rise to 8-month high in September. Isn't one of the major problems in Canada housing? Inadequate housing. The Trudeau government did not prepare for where we are now.
Yes, that's it. You see, Canada, like the United States, was built on immigration. And when I was a young person, there were large numbers of people arriving, mainly from Europe. But the federal government, in cooperation with the provincial governments, was constantly subsidizing housing construction to ensure that housing prices didn't go through the roof for people of modest incomes. I mean, citizens already in the country suddenly having, you know, their cost of living shoot upwards. And that's been a terrible problem in Europe, with this essentially ill-considered or even illegal immigration. And this is a sign that they're countering that and are trying to expand the supply of housing to ensure that that nobody is just an unjustly a victim of the sudden increase in the population. Here, we don't have a problem with people fleeing into this country, because our only border is with the U.S. Not many people flee the U.S. any more than they flee Canada. So it's a stable border in that respect. But it's always been government policy, or at least for many years, to try and increase our population. And we do have a population now of over 40 million people. It's not compared to the U.S., but compared to most of the European countries, it's a sizable population.
Conrad Black, we're going to stop because we've had too many positives today. We don't want to get overboard. Conrad Black, writing for the National Post, a distinguished biographer, my reporter in Toronto, where the home sales indicate better days ahead. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.